It's the cinematic event of the year. Critics say incredible, jaw-dropping, action-packed with savings.
You're talking about Thunderbolts?
No, Sergey. It's 2-for-1 cinema tickets from Compare the Market. A wonderful offer.
So?
That you can use to see Marvel Studios Thunderbolts only in cinemas.
Woohoo! I'll get the popcorn.
Get 2-for-1 cinema tickets every Tuesday or Wednesday with Compare the Market. Simples!
When you take out a qualifying product for Compare the Market, one membership per year participating cinemas, 2 standard tickets only, cheap as free. T's and C's apply.
All right, do you want to do real quick? This podcast is brought to you and powered by Sunday Cool.
Of course.
Okay. Right.
This podcast is brought to you in part by or brought to you by?
Brought to you and powered by.
This podcast is brought to you. This podcast is brought to you and powered by Sunday Cool.
Did you say empowered or and powered?
Empowered. Empowered?
Did you say empowered?
I'll do it again. I'll
no,
it again.
I didn't
I'll
say empowered.
No, that's perfect. Okay. That Watch perfect. This or listen.
Are you mysterious? Are you comfortable? Do you want to be? Sunday Cool is here to take care. Fleece blitz. Fleece so soft, you'll even consider eating it. But don't. Essence. Beauty. Intelligence. Is it just fleece? Or is it destiny? Entangle yourself. Cloaked in mystery. Whispers of warmth. A flip ton of fleece. Order now at sundaycool.com.
Si puedes entender esto, el gobierno está tratando de controlar.
Ready?
Harnessing the energy.
Starting the pod.
Harnessing the energy of an eagle.
Gentlemen, rev your engines. It's not rev, it's start. Dang it.
Rev your engines.
Sounds scary.
We never did the gray card, did we?
Josh took it.
Don't you accuse me of that.
Don't you do this, Morgan.
Don't do that.
You know, when it was over here consistently, we never lost track of it. Give it to me. Give it to me. I'll keep it safe. Josh, that doesn't help anything.
Here we are.
Here we are. The start of the show. Ruslan's in the building.
Boom, 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 boom. Boo, boo,
boo, boo. Oh, he got it. He got the actual sound.
Then we got the, yeah. The I have two sounds.
Yes.
I have two.
Yes. Guys, you guys are amazing. I'm so grateful.
Thanks for coming, man.
Thank you for having me.
All the way from California.
Yeah, San Diego, California.
San Diego.
Californians.
Off the 405.
What are you guys sipping on over there?
Sipping on some.
There's one behind you if you want it.
It's fun. It's warm, though.
It was in the fridge until I put it there.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah. It's first form. Ooh. They're lucky enough to, we're lucky enough where they just sent us a bunch of stuff. And
Props to them.
Yeah, they're fire. They typically sponsor athletes.
Yeah.
So obviously their first move was like Ninjas or Butterfly.
Yeah,
look so at this is guys. A no-brainer. Yeah.
They're in peak physical condition.
Yes.
I see the scale out front. I was like, uh-oh. Yeah. You know, we used to do that for Bible study. We had a men's group, and everyone had to weigh in before every group.
Was there shame involved?
So, yes.
Okay, good.
Yep. Because good. You had set goals. And so if you set goals and you were like, I'm going to lose weight, and you didn't lose weight.
Lashings.
We'd have to have a conversation.
That's intense.
Yeah, it was intense. It was good, though. I mean, guys definitely lost weight, you know? And then you'd always have the guy that's like, I've been eating right, but I think I'm eating the wrong salad dressing. It's not the salad dressing, bud.
Yeah, he's just chugging ranch.
You just can't go do it, dude.
Just, you can't just drink salad dressing.
Says who? I love salad. That's minus what the lettuce and all the vegetables.
And the tomatoes and onions. And
the croutons.
Croutons are fantastic. Dude, croutons dipped in ranch.
With bacon?
Bro, don't get me started.
So, unfortunately, my wife couldn't make it today because my youngest has an ear infection.
I'm sorry.
Ow! Yeah, why'd she do that? Why would you allow her to get an ear infection?
She deserved it a little bit, I think.
Is it the sins of the father and mother?
I think so.
Well, maybe you need to lose more weight. Your kid wouldn't get an ear infection if you gained so much weight.
What?
I mean, if you lost more weight. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to connect his story with it, and there might be a connection.
No, there's not.
Possibly. There's no connection.
Ruslan, I got this. Come on.
Oh, all right. So episode 109.
109, we're here. We're excited. We have a guest.
We have a guest.
All the way from California.
Yes, sir.
And we're excited to learn about what you want to talk about, because you've said you have some good stories. Some crazy stories?
I may or possibly may not.
May or may not.
We got some stuff to talk about today.
Oh, yeah. We're going to deep dive.
We're going to go deep into it.
Watch out, government. We're coming for you.
Watch out. Hey, do you want a song?
I was promised a song.
Okay.
And you will get a song.
You weren't promised the quality of it? Just that it exists.
Just a song.
Okay. That it is going to be classic. I mean, like,
it's going to be the
defined
best thing.
As a song.
It's going to be the best thing you've ever heard.
I've been doing my musician every morning, so maybe.
Yeah, and we know you dropped a podcast with Lecrae this morning.
I did.
But I'm just going to say,
he pulls out the guitar. No. Where did this guitar come from? I did not see this guitar earlier. He literally just invisible guitar.
All right.
Is this rehearsed? Okay.
We're just going to make something up.
Yeah. Just off the top of the head.
What are we thinking, boys?
I'm thinking something that really comes from deep within everyone.
Okay.
Something maybe like everyone can resonate with. Something that's deep down inside of us. All.
Something that you could taste.
Taste, smell, touch, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah.
Palpable. Why not?
Yeah.
Palpable.
That's a good word. It's not real, but it's a good one.
All right. Let's see what we got.
All right.
...1983 California. I was walking down the road and I... ...locked eyes with a woman who... ...stopped me in my tracks. I don't know if it was her eyes or the way the wind was moving through her hair, but... ...something about her drew me to her. And to this moment I never believed in love at first sight, but... ...there it was. Years later, we got married. We got kids, and we built a house and a home and a life together. We were happy.
We were so happy.
But for some reason, there was an idea, a thought that kept looming and running around my brain. And I couldn't ignore it for any longer, so I sat my wife down. I looked her in the eyes, and I held her hands tightly, and I looked at her and asked her, "Have you ever farted?" At this moment I knew something was wrong because she squeezed my hand. She looked up at me with tears in her eyes. And she said the word, "No." My lawyer.
Fartless.
I took the kids. Fartless. I packed up the car and we left her.
Left her.
We drove down the driveway and I
be so fartless.
Looked in the rearview mirror and I
fartless.
I realized I couldn't live with a woman who
fartless.
Didn't break wind. Because not only fartless. Did she have my heart, she had no fart.
Fartless.
I was broken. Could I be with a woman that was truly so fartless?
How could you be so fartless?
That was great. I shed a tear.
I was
in it.
Man, that was
wow.
I closed my eyes.
That
and
was
I just,
great.
I saw everything.
Yeah, that was the story of my mother.
Oh,
unfortunately.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's why your dad left.
Yep. And then he found out I inherited the genes of a fartless heart. So he had to leave me behind as well.
Oh.
What can you do?
Hey, what can you do when your father leaves you? What can you do?
Well, nothing, apparently.
Oh, brother. Speaking of fathers leaving you,
We have a question.
My father left me. We're good now, though.
I wonder if you guys have the same dad.
We'll have to dive into that later. Yeah, that'd be incredible.
We have a question today, and I need everyone to just really be quiet for this one.
Okay.
Today's question.
It's like ASMR, bro, with the drink of the water.
Listen, you guys are goofing off, but like, I really.
I'm sorry.
I know you're new here, pal. But this part, we need to be serious. Today's question, sent in by a viewer. And that viewer is me.
Whoa. What?
Today's question, sent in by me. Are you here to hurt us?
What? Josh, what are you talking about? He's our friend. He's our guest. He's our pal.
Confronting ninjas are butterflies.
Are you here to hurt us?
No.
Josh, don't.
Then why do you have that bag under the couch?
Oh, what is that?
Oh, there's a bag under your foot. What's that?
Why do you have that? What's in the bag?
Can you grab whatever's in the bag and show us? Because I feel like Josh is scared. It's nothing ominous. It's nothing scary, Josh. Come on.
What's in the bag?
There's nothing wrong. You just carry.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Okay, I knew it.
Ruslan, what are you? Don't.
I should trigger discipline.
I don't know, but I'm a little triggered right now.
Yeah, it's okay. Listen, I think as long as we just relax, Josh, don't freak out. It's not a big deal.
Oh.
He said no, he's not here to hurt us.
Why do you have the gun? Why do you have the gun and why is it pointing at us?
Maybe he is here to hurt us.
Point it this way.
I'm scared, Andy. Andrew, I'm scared.
I'm scared. I am scared too, because you're getting scared. I'm getting scared as well.
Okay.
So, he's here to hurt us?
So you're here to hurt us?
I'm here to hurt you.
Oh, God.
Oh. Oh, man. Oh, I'm scared. What is happening?
That's how I cry. What are you talking about?
Well, I guess you guys heard it here first. He's here to hurt us.
Oh, no.
Look at the show.
Put the gun down.
Did I say ninja? I meant
butterfly.
The butterfly is no doubt one of God's most beautiful.
Empty your mind.
You learn martial arts.
Ha! Ninjas are dead!
That was something.
That was okay. That was okay.
That was all right. Good. We did right. It.
We're in. Starting the show. Woo!
Woo! Here we go.
This is cool, though. I like this thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's loaded.
It's not.
Okay, good.
I tried to shoot
the cartridge.
Mm. Oh, he tried to pull the trigger, but nothing worked.
Hey, buddy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
No hard feelings, right?
Right.
We're friends.
Yes. Correct? I feel like we're friends. I watch you guys, so, you know.
You watch us?
Yeah. You ever meet people that watch you, and then they know you, but you don't know them, and so you just go along with it?
Yeah.
That's the best thing I like about this pod, meeting people, because it's always, you don't have to go over that small talk stuff. They already feel like they know you, and they're like, so like within 5 seconds of meeting each other, you're already like, so there was a second person on the grassy knoll, right? Yeah, of course. Yep. All right, see you later.
Yeah.
Duh. Talk about bombs in a airport whenever somebody reaches up.
Mm.
Yeah.
Speaking of bombs in an airport, did you know that we were invited to the Chosen Con in Texas?
You were.
We were.
I was there.
You were there, though?
I was there, too. Oh,
okay.
It was not as good as this one. This one's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We weren't invited to this one.
Oof.
Yeah. It's because we didn't go to the last one.
Probably.
We bailed literally the last second. Oof. Just because there was all those.
Threats. Do you remember that?
I remember.
Yeah.
It was right just, it felt really weird.
October 7th.
Yeah.
Stuff going on, yeah.
So we, it was me, really. I live my life in anxiety, I think. So I'm just like, I don't think I want to fly this day.
And I was like, I'll go down. I'll go down. If I go down with Jonathan Roomie, I mean, the closest thing to, no, I'm kidding.
Oh, whoa.
Time out.
I mean, I'm just, and being held in Dallas's arms as a Atom Bomb drops. probably the best way to go.
Yeah.
If you're going to, if you can put it all together.
And he seems like the kind of guy who would be willing to comfort you if you were in distress in that moment.
Dallas is a very sweet guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Very sweet guy.
He's a giant.
And capable. Like he could.
He is really tall.
He looks like a professional athlete.
Yeah.
He's tall and he's like jacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scary. Scary stuff. So what are you doing at Chosen Con?
Hanging out.
Chilling?
Yeah. No, they had me do the panel this morning and I'm doing a panel tomorrow. And I'm just hanging out and talking to people and hopefully getting like a recap video going or something like that. They got a real big announcement they're making tonight. And so that's going to be exciting. And
guys, then, Jesus is coming back. Jesus.
Yeah. So yeah, hanging out with the folks and then just doing some panels. I think Dallas likes like me interviewing, you know, and he feels comfortable. And so,
are you going to get a role? You got to get a role.
Well, we've been pushing for the merchant.
Yeah.
We did our own spinoff and cause we were there and I was really initially told that I would be an extra.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pulled it from me like last minute. But they're like, we can still put you through hair and makeup. And I was like, what? Why?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
That's what I feel pretty today.
I was like, okay, so I'm not going to be an extra, but you want me to go through hair and makeup. So we brought our own crew and basically shot this thing called The Merchant, which was like a guy from the same city as Jesus following him around and trying to catch him. And so we did this whole thing about it. And then now it's kind of like this inside joke of, you know, more fish, like I call him like more fish. And so I've been consistently pitching it. I'm going to pitch Dallas on it again. Like, hey, let's do a spinoff. It's Chosen Universe, The Merchant.
Yeah.
Nice. Starring me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd watch every episode.
Yeah.
And I would wait to see it drop. Like I would sit in my computer and just count down.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. I want to do a time traveler version of the Bible somehow. Like a modern day person time travels those times.
Someone did that. There's a
really?
It was so bad. I can't remember the movie. It was so bad.
It's
a
good
movie.
Idea.
It's a great idea, but it's like a low budget Christian film. Mm. Oh, I wish I remembered what this was. So it's a low budget Christian film. They get into a time machine. They travel back to the times of Jesus to see if the thing really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up writing themselves in for modern day. Yes. I don't remember. And they end up writing themselves into the story. So the naked boy that's following Jesus or the guy in a robe that's following Jesus is one of the time travelers. Yeah. And so it's this whole thing.
Interesting.
It's a cool concept. I think it just needs a good budget to pull it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated with it. Like the other characters that aren't talked about, like imagine just some dude at the bottom of a cliff, just chilling with his family. And then like a bunch of pigs just start falling. Like what a traumatic experience that would be. What is happening?
Hey, do you want to tell our audience a little bit about you?
Yeah.
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 Tell us who you are, where you're from.
So I'm Ruslan. I'm from a country called Azerbaijan, Baku. It's in the Middle East. It's just north of Iran to the east of Armenia. So I'm ethnically Armenian, grew up in Azerbaijan. The pogroms of Baku broke out in the late 80s. And so me and
what
my family, pogroms of Baku. So there's the Armenian Turkish beef that's been going back and Arzis kind of got in on it. And long story short, there's displacement of Arzis from Armenia. And then they wanted to displace the Armenians from Azerbaijan. And so my family kind of got caught up in that. And there was like a mass exodus of hundreds of thousands of Armenians from there. And there's a huge Armenian diaspora. And so we were the first family to come to San Diego. And so we came to San Diego in 91. My dad and my mom split up. I kind of went to Armenian church initially, had some pretty rough experiences there. And then in the late 90s, came to faith in Jesus, started doing music, and got married in 2004, have two kids, Zoe.
That's awesome.
And Levi, Zoe's three, Levi's nine. And I did music professionally from 2015 to 2020, part of a collective called The Dream Junkies, The Breaks. And then 2020, pandemic happened. And I was already kind of podcasting and dabbling, doing kind of a setup like this when I would travel and just like interview buddies in the green room all of 2019. 2020 started live streaming, and that's kind of when things really popped off for me with YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really cool. When you said Turkish and Armenian beef, it sounded delicious at first, but then it sounded really sad. I was like, oh, it's a very sad thing. You can't be hungry.
The
right
food
there.
Is
like,
delicious.
Yeah, sounds amazing.
Both Turkish and Armenian food is amazing. Yeah.
Okay, how do you pronounce the country again?
Azerbaijan, Baku.
Jeez.
Yeah, it used to be part of the former Soviet Union. So like Armenia used to be part of Soviet Union. Azerbaijan used to be part of Soviet Union. And then now they're both their own countries. But and they do not get along. Like 100,000 additional Armenians just got displaced from Azerbaijan.
Jeez.
The end of September. So about a year ago. But no one talked about it because it was right before October 7th. And so it just kind of So it's a pretty messy part of the world. And there's a lot of like just ethnic issues. And yeah, it's pretty bad.
And it's still going on just as bad?
Well, there's no real Armenians left. They kicked them all out. And so now it's like trying to deal with where do these folks go and that sort of
aftermath
stuff.
Aftermath of it all. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Well, fun fact. My family, we watched this YouTube channel called, let me see what it's called. Country Life Vlog, and they're from, I'm not going to even attempt
Azerbaijan, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so it's basically like, you know those like dudes in like Indonesia that like dig the holes like for like pools and stuff? Yeah. It's like that, but she's like this lady that's always like cooking stuff.
Huh.
And my girls love it. Yeah, so she's like, in this episode, she's making cheese bread.
Wow. How and cool
it's,
is
it's,
that?
It's the best thing ever.
It looks very wholesome and peaceful.
They have over 6 million subscribers. Dang. So,
is she doing Armenian beef?
I think so.
Cool.
Yeah.
So they live there now?
That I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it says at the beginning that's where they are.
Uh-huh.
So, but it looks really fake. Like it's a set.
Because
it looks like heaven.
We should start doing that. Yeah.
There's like kittens playing with like chickens and stuff in
it. Yeah. It's all AI.
Yeah.
That's what it turns out. All AI.
Speaking of AI.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Let's dive, baby.
Let's talk about giants. The Nephilim.
Yes. My favorite topic.
It's our favorite topic too, honestly. And I don't feel like we talk enough about it.
We talk a lot about it, but I don't think it's enough for the audience. Yeah, no.
Yeah. I was listening to this guy. Do you know who Dr. Chuck Missler?
Chuck Missler's huge.
I asked Nate Henry from Blurry about him, and he's like, yeah, he's like the grandfather of Nephilim talk. He passed away in, I think, 2009.
Oh,
but dude, he was talking about it, all the UFO Nephilim connections, like way back in the day.
He's a believer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I listened to one of his seminars.
Lectures.
Yeah. On Spotify, and it was called Return of the Nephilim. And that came out in 2002. And dude, he was already talking about like the UFOs and like it's going to like, there's going to be more disclosure and like all this stuff. And you're just like, this is wild.
Yeah.
But some fun stuff that I heard about when he was talking, I never knew this, but he said that supposedly, I don't know, it probably wasn't all Native Americans, but when they held up their hand, they said, how?
Yeah.
You know, like the Peter Pan.
Yeah.
You know, he said that they did that because they feared the six-finger man.
Whoa.
So like the Nephilim, the six fingers, six toes. And so they raised their hand and said, how? And the other person was supposed to raise their hand to see if they had six fingers.
Is the six fingers a thing?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Wow.
Six fingers, six toes on each hand. So 12.
Strange.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that'd be terrifying.
Yeah.
Which is just like me, just like them taking like way too long. I'm just like,
stop moving.
So what are you thinking about all this alien stuff going on?
Yeah, you know, we were talking about probably some of his work back in like 2002 2003. I remember my buddy Jason Broom, who is now like a showrunner, all that kind of stuff, but he kind of discipled me when I was new to the faith. And he brought me a book about like the Nephilim and the Bible and this being an explanation for aliens.
Yeah.
And so we were having these conversations a long time ago. So I think it's the most logical conclusion to it. The part I wrestle with is, it seems like around the time of Noah that they were supposed to be killed off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Then they pop.
That was the whole point of the flood.
Yeah. Then they pop up later, and I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
What's going on? You know. So then I started thinking, well, maybe the physical beings, the bodies died or something.
Yeah.
And then now their spirits are in a different realm. And so what we're dealing with isn't physical beings, we're dealing with a different dimension of these spirits.
That can enter our dimension.
That can enter our dimensions. Yeah.
Have you read the Book of Enoch at all?
I've read parts of it. I haven't sat through the whole thing.
Because that's what it talks about, right? It'll forever roam Earth forever.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the how they explain evil spirits and demons is that it's the spirit of the Nephilim.
Uh-huh.
So they died and they became these wandering spirits that are always hungry, always thirsty. But we've dived into this topic of like after the flood, it does seem like, I mean, because you read like the Exodus and Joshua, like they encountered giants, mm-hmm. you know. But there's stories from like Mexico, like the Aztecs, of just like these giants, the story of these giants, they actually escaped the flood by either underground tunnels or building the pyramids in like the Aztec pyramids and stuff. So, it's interesting. It's like,
and it says like Noah was the only one who's righteous. I'm trying to go right now to like the original word for righteous and like what it's referencing, mm-hmm. you know, but if there was like a purity implied, and again, this is speculation right now. Like I'm not,
well, that's not even speculation. Like there's a translation that just said that Noah was without fault.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically talking about it's from the beginning, like
blameless, this, right? The word righteous means blameless, I think, in the original Greek.
So like the Hebrew, like seed wars, you know? So like evil trying to corrupt man's seed with this whole Nephilim race and whatnot. And it's like we talked about a lot about when Christ talks about his return of it'll be like the days of Noah. And like, what did he fully mean by that? And I'm fully convinced that it's going to be like the days of Noah, which is the Nephilim, all the weird stuff that's going to start appearing again.
The stuff that in Noah's day was physical, but in our days is transitioning from the spiritual realm into the physical realm, that there's a spirit in the air. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but the spirit becomes more and more pervasive. And then it's physically breaking into our realm through all of the recent sightings and videos coming out and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense of just like how strategic the enemy is. Like they're going to know the culture. They're going to know the ins and outs and the weak spots and stuff. So it makes you wonder, like, do their war strategies change throughout time?
Yeah.
As humans progress.
I don't know.
Hey, I'm not a doctor.
I ain't no doctor.
Please. So
we should get our doctorate just so we can call ourselves doctors.
Dude, I would make everyone call me doctor.
No, what you got to do is get an honorary doctorate.
There you go. Mm.
And then just flaunt the title anyway.
Yeah, Denzel's got like 15 of them, I think.
Does he?
Yeah, because he speaks at like every graduation of like every college and like, hey, you're an honorary doctor now.
Dr. Washington.
Yeah, dude. Denzel, save us.
Yeah, I think the pervasive nature of what's happening in society today definitely points to just like, I mean, it's like everyone's reading from the same script. Everyone's like a bot in terms of the stuff that's being said. And the interesting parallel of it, again, to these spirit beings, but like Gnosticism, like knowledge and information that's detached from the physical, like the physical is bad. The you're born in the wrong body. You're right. You're all these things. It's a modern day of Gnosticism, and it's everywhere. And it's the same thing the early church was dealing with. Was like the heresy of Gnosticism. It's a lot of what First John was about. He's trying to combat Gnosticism, but we see it everywhere. We see it all. The physical body's bad, whereas like the gospel is Jesus in the flesh. The incarnation is Jesus comes into the physical. It's both physical and spiritual. It's not one or the other.
Yeah.
So it seems like the times today are definitely very bizarre.
It's weird.
It's heating up. And the whole I'm going down a rabbit trail with this whole disclosure stuff.
What do you mean disclosure?
Like the alien disclosure stuff?
Yeah.
Grush. Was it Matt Grush? Is that his name? The guy that spoke in front of Congress or whatever?
Oh, I don't know. I'll look it up. Yeah.
I think they're all plants, dude.
Think so?
Yeah.
Just misinformation type of stuff?
Because it's all approved by the Pentagon. So the stuff that they say is approved by the Pentagon to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I think they're just messing with the script to like building up to something that is going to be insane.
Like a planned attack? Or do you think
something.
Like something?
Or they're in cahoots with the aliens.
Dude.
I don't know.
I mean, it could even be like you hear about people who have like knowledge of like potential terror attacks, and they're like, we're not going to inform the general populace because panic is more dangerous than, you know, like if we let them know, it would be a dangerous thing. So even if it's not a conspiracy, it's just them like, we don't know what to do with the reality that we've discovered. I'm not saying I believe that, but that'd be an explanation of the silence on it.
What I also thought was weird is Dr. Chuck Missler said that one to 3% of Americans say that they've been abducted by aliens.
1 to 3?
You know,
that's
what I mean?
A huge high, percentage, dude.
That is 3 to 10 million Americans that have been abducted.
That's say they've been abducted.
Say they've been abducted. Yeah. But okay, like,
hold on. We're a company of over 100 people. So that means 1 to 3 of us at Sunday Cool.
I was almost abducted.
That's true. That counts.
Yeah.
That counts. I guarantee there's at least one person that, says, let me tell you about it.
Next week on Ninjas or Butterflies.
I woke up naked in the woods 3 miles away from my house. Explain that.
But what's so weird about all these accounts of being abducted is that they said there's always something with like fertilization.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like with the males and females, and even females have talked about that they are literally implanted with a, sounds really weird, but like an alien baby.
Yeah.
But then they're re-abducted again and the baby's taken out. And so it's like, if you think of like,
that is literally like Nephilim.
Yeah, days of Noah, it was the sons of God, the Watchers, the fallen angels, mating with the women of the earth and producing these Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
And are they at this point now to where it's like, okay, well, we can't have 15-foot giants walking around because that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
So are we going to make them different with genetic coding and all that stuff? Because they talk about it. Like there's one account, I think it was from Payne Lindsay, I think his mm-hmm. alien podcast.
Mm-hmm. High Strange.
I think it was from that, where they talked about this lady, she saw, or is it later, man, they saw this room with like different vessels of like super alien looking to like very human looking. So it's like they've been like testing the genetic code kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
This sounds...
Well, it's strange, like even you think about like the telepathic talking, right?
Yeah.
Like that's... For the most, like, I don't know, you want to say truthful, but, like, the most confirmed alien abductions, like Benny and Bonnie Hill, like, those things, like, we have similarities throughout where they're doing telepathic talking, and also you do that with angels, with near-death experiences and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they're talking. And so, like, there's a lot of comparisons where there's a lot of overlap, and I don't know, man, that would be so
scary. Have you guys
scary.
Looked into the gateway process? When the CIA discovered a spirit realm?
I feel like I just saw talking about it.
I've looked at it before. We've never talked about it before.
Yeah, so they dug deep into this idea of basically what you're describing, and then they would test this whole, like, people stepping out of their physical body and actually being even able to retrieve certain information. This is during the Cold War. So they would actually have some form of accuracy to pull out stuff as spies through this gateway process. And so then when you go down the rabbit hole, man, it is spooky stuff.
So they're utilizing near-death experiences in a way? Like
out-of-body experiences? Yes, let's think of out-of-body experiences. Oh, yeah, it's like, called the gateway process, and they just went down this deep dive, kind of blending in a lot of like Eastern spirituality practices.
Like astroplaning or whatever?
Yes, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, that stuff is spooky. And this is, I mean, the document is available on the CIA.gov. Anyone that Googles the Gateway program, you can find all of this sort of stuff. And it's everywhere.
Now, how do you feel about those .gov, like the CIA.gov reports? Because we read one of like that Russian alien attack where
that one's weird.
Multiple Russian soldiers were literally turned into stone after this floating metal ship came down, these tiny aliens, creatures. All of them got zapped and literally turned into stone. And it's a CIA.gov government thing. And it's a, like, you know, this big lore in Russian history and stuff. Yeah. And so it's like, can we trust those? I mean, like, how is it just so like thrown in with all the other baloney, all the other stuff that's not even,
well, that's
like,
what I'm saying. I feel like they throw like truth out, but they swamp it with disinformation.
Mm.
And that's where they coined the term conspiracy theory, right? Mm. Is the CIA or the FBI.
JFK, yeah.
where it's like, oh, it's called a conspiracy theory. So like if you throw out a little truth, like those documents, but then it's just like you get people like us. They're like, these guys don't know what they're talking about. Look at them.
But like, when did supposition become like misinformation? Like if you say like, you know, if you say like this could have happened, you're supposing a series of things and like maybe, but now like we literally get labeled on our channel. Like we're just having a conversation and like the agenda now is to like almost put a thought into a camp. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Well, that's a great point. Well, cause I think there's quote unquote conspiracies that can be harmful towards someone's like paradigm of the world and drive people towards nihilism and drive people towards despair. Right.
Yeah.
And then there's like things that are anchored around the human experience that we could all kind of acknowledge, right? Like we could all acknowledge that, hey, there's a spirit realm. Hey, there seems to be some travel between this spirit realm. And I think that those are different than like, the Jays are the lizard people that run the whole world, right? Like, because so it's like there's two paths these go, and that path is the more pervasive, harmful one. Like, everything goes down to the lizard people or the Jays, and they control everything, right? Versus like, hey, there's a spirit realm. There's something going on here, and how do we connect it to scripture, and how do we connect it to these other things?
Yeah,
yeah, totally. It could be. I don't know. It's just such a. It's such a hard thing to decipher, man. And I feel like that we just got to rely on the Holy Spirit for discernment on that. But it is so much information. Like you have your own government saying these things happened, or this was a process that we went through, or this was a program that we had. And you're just supposed to like accept that.
Yeah.
Like, cause like, I don't know, man, you see like that, this is kind of off subject, but even just something as simple as like when it was George H.W. I think, or Reagan, they were sitting down and the girl had the mask on. She was from the government.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, it was just like, it was that good back then.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you know, there's more deceit and more manipulation happening. You just, but you don't know. And so when you do question, it's like,
what do you think the motive behind the deceit is? Is it just to like spread chaos and to confuse people? Or do you think there's something more sinister behind
it? I think it's a division thing for sure. And certain people want to stay in power, and I think it's just it's a game. Like you have to be able to play the game.
And you can't acknowledge evil without acknowledging, you know, the opposite or greater than the opposite. God has no, you know, true opposite. But I think if they were going to say these things are real, they are evil, everyone immediately goes, what's the solution? Where do I turn? Where do I go to? And the answer is not the government. So I think actually a power play.
I think it's a lot like the Screwtape Letters of C.S. Lewis, to where it's just like this, if you create distractions and division and fear and stuff, it's like, it just distracts everyone from just like focusing on Christ and like focusing on like the true truth, you know? And like, if you can divide people and scare them, and especially with our, like this, like whatever's going to happen with this alien stuff, but like, we're so divided as a nation and we're so far from Christ, when there is potentially an alien invasion, we're gonna fully rely on the government, right? Or like the majority of people will, because it's just like, you guys have been talking about this, you guys have all the secrets that you've been keeping from us, so we're gonna trust you in all of this, you know. I think it's a long plan.
Really?
I think so. The enemy.
Do you think people naturally will trust the government, or do you think that people will?
I think so.
You think they will?
Yeah. Especially if there's something that is out of this world, like we've never seen before.
Yeah. I mean, we did kind of get in line in 2020 pretty quick.
I was about to.
Well, I mean, it's in our nature to have a boss, a protector. Yeah. And like people automatically, I mean, like we grow up with parents, we grow up with teachers, all these things. And like as an adult, like we trust like automatically, like, okay, these people are in control. This is what's going to happen. Yeah. We did fall in line pretty quick. And
I think
because we just didn't know. And I think a lot of the confusion is when, if they can create confusion and they give the solution, then boom, they're the savior. They're the hero. And it makes us feel better, even though
we're just being gaslit by the government
all the time.
There's no aliens.
Also, wait, here's a video of an alien from the actual Pentagon. Wait,
they're attacking. Back up. Listen to us.
Another thing from Dr. Chuck is he talked about the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had in Daniel, mm-hmm. And, you know, the giant statue that each portion was made out of a different material. And a lot of people have interpreted the toes that were iron and clay mixed as Rome. But he did not agree with that. And apparently a lot of scholars also don't agree with that. They believe it's going to be, whether it's America or it's going to be the last kingdom, like the last powerhouse that is going to be destroyed. And that's where God ushers in his forever kingdom. Mm-hmm. It talks about this all in Daniel. But an interesting part, this is from the Amplified Version, Daniel 2:42-43. It says, as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so some of the kingdom will be strong and another part of it will be brittle. And as you saw the iron mix with the common clay, so they will combine one another with the seed of men. But they will not merge, for diverse things or ideologies cannot, even as iron does not mix with clay. So it mentions they, and then it mentions the seed of man.
Mm.
And I feel like this is a full connection back to, it will be like the days of Noah, where it's this Nephilim, right? Yeah. It's this, yeah. The return of the Nephilim. What that looks like?
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton, lizard. Just kidding.
It's a joke. Rondio.
You did say Baron's tall.
Mm. He is, though. I don't know. I thought that was crazy because, I mean, Daniel really breaks it down. He says, they will mix with the seed of men.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean?
Dude, it's how just incredibly detailed God is. Like, how he can know everything about every single person, have every path figured out, every word in the Bible there on purpose. And it's like, there's so much we're missing.
Dude.
And it's like, I want to know what that means.
I know.
I want to know what that means.
On the other side of eternity, one day, no matter how close we are right now, we're going to feel so dumb looking at the timeline.
It was right there.
Yeah. No matter which way it goes.
Jesus is going to be like, she literally was a lizard woman. Like, I gave you the prophet, Alex Jones. I told you.
The prophet.
Dude, how ticked would we be?
Let's say the Lord.
No. He's not a prophet.
No. Right?
What did Lily say, to listen to every prophet?
That's why you always listen to every prophet.
Don't do that.
And while the government's listening to every prophet, I can sign on your label anytime if you really want me to.
We sunset it.
Hey, but speaking of prophet.
No way.
Did you know that? We got that. Don't go anywhere.
I don't want to talk about it.
What?
I don't want to talk about it. Quit bringing it up.
I didn't bring anything up. What are you talking
about? You brought up SundayCool.com, and I don't want to hear about it anymore. The shirts are too soft.
Bro.
Okay.
I wanted the shirts 3 weeks from now. Guess what? They showed up yesterday. Too fast of a delivery. They're too soft. And people, and when every single time I call, dude, they're so nice, and I can't stand it. I'm sick of SundayCool.com. Being the greatest t-shirt provider in all of this country.
Okay.
I'm fed up with it, okay. Josh.
I don't know what's happening.
It's your fault. It's his fault. And it's his fault.
I sound like a nihilist.
Okay, don't even get me started on that. We're not even going to talk about that today.
I don't know why you're so upset.
Oh, SundayCool.com. That's what you're going to say, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, because this is an ad for SundayCool.com. I'm so sick and
you
tired
know what?
Of hearing
I'm
about
sick and tired of you.
Why?
Always plugging Sunday Cool and how fast of a turnaround they are, how super soft their shirts are. I'm sick of you, Andy.
Guess what? Sick of you for other reasons.
Oh.
What do you mean?
Your hair. Your attitude.
What do you mean my hair?
Your face. What do you mean your hair? Look at it.
Look nice.
No, it doesn't. Everyone's talking about it, Josh.
Everyone?
Everyone's commenting about it right now while they listen to this.
Stop.
And you've upset Ruslan. Look at that. You've upset him.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Well, that's it.
Wasn't that ad fun?
I had a great time. I'm not sure how the audience is going to feel about it.
Yeah.
Just because of, you know, the anger and the rage that was happening.
Yeah, time will tell.
Yeah, we'll see.
You guys got the best ads, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're fun.
Some people skip them. Some people skip our songs, too. What's up with you guys?
Yeah, we get these comments like, if you want to get to the interesting stuff, go to minute 40.
You know, I just hit the hide button when someone does that.
Mm.
You're gone, bud.
Bye-bye.
And into the ether you go.
Yep.
The sad part about on YouTube is that, like, on Instagram and X, if someone blocks you, you know. You know, on YouTube, they just keep commenting into the abyss, bro.
Well, Instagram has that thing where Instagram has that thing where you can
restrict.
Yeah, and so they think they can still comment, but no one sees their comment. Yeah. And I think that's hilarious. like you have a big hater that always hits on every video.
Yeah. That's how a typical hide on YouTube is. Yeah.
Yeah.
poop story
with Ruslan.
Where the poops are
coming from him. Boom. All right. Now everyone knows we haven't had a guest on in a while. But Ruslan, we tell an epic poop story.
All right.
Every guest has to tell one. And
I got two.
You know. Okay.
All right.
Dude, hit us hard.
All right.
Two. Number two.
Okay. So I am very optimistic and very late. Those two are connected.
Okay. What was the first one?
People who are habitually late, they found out psychologically it's because you're so optimistic.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you just believe that. you believe you could squeeze more in.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm always on time. What does that mean?
That means you're a pessimist.
Yeah.
That means you poop a lot.
So I've gotten better. I've gotten much better in the last several years in terms of punctuality and wanting to be on, except today. Sorry about that.
Yeah, thanks for that.
But I used to be really bad. So I'd tell someone to like meet me at my house and then they'd meet me at my house, but I'd be like coming from my dad's house who lives in Del Mar 30 minutes away.
Yeah, like I'm right around the corner.
Yeah. Like I'm on my way, man. I'm right around the corner. And this was bad. It's like all the time. And one time my best friend pulls up to my house and is like, hey, you know, I'll be there at 7. I'm like, cool, I'll see you at 7. And then he hits me at 7. Where are you at? I'm like, oh, I'm down the street. And I wasn't down the street. And then he's like, man, where are you at? I got to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, I'm down the street, man. I'll be there. Like, chill out. And so I wasn't down the street. I was like 25 minutes away.
Yeah.
And my buddy didn't know anyone else in the condo complex. He couldn't get into like the common pool area.
Oh, no.
So he's sitting in front of my house for 30 minutes waiting for me and had an emergency, poop emergency.
Oh, so this is not your poop.
This is not my poop. I have a poop story.
Okay.
But let me get through my friend's poop.
And
people who really know me could put together who this is. I don't want to put him out there. He may have told it.
It's Lecrae.
It's not Lecrae. But it is someone that like is a public person that people could put together if they really wanted to. So long story short, he's out there and he's waiting. And then he just ends up having to go. And so he grabs.
In the car.
He grabs like a plastic bag.
Bro.
Yeah. Yo, get out of here.
That's insane.
He stands between. He puts one. He had like a little two-door car, so there wasn't even a back seat.
Oh.
So he stands each foot on each seat, grabs the bag.
Tush hate like pointing towards the like where the back seat would have been. The console. There's a bag on the console.
So his butt is in the back. His feet are in the front. And he takes the bag, opens the bag, puts it under, and it's a plastic bag. So this is even better. this is nice. Puts it in between there and just. And it was. It was bad.
Dude, I would find a bush, bro.
Anything. I would jump the fence and poop in the pool if I had to.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, someone pooped in the pool, dude.
I don't know why he didn't just like run to Ralph's. Like there was a Ralph's down the street.
Because you were right down the street.
Because it's your fault.
He was like, oh, he's going to be here any second.
Yeah. So he just goes in his car in a plastic bag. And
what year? What time of the year was this?
It was dark early.
Okay.
I think it was dark early.
It wasn't like a hot. Eat middle of the day.
No. So yeah, because this is like right after we moved into this new complex, and he goes, and then when I get there, he's just stoic.
He's a shame.
He's just like stoic, and he's like, man, like you gotta stop saying you're gonna be somewhere at a specific time.
You're like, why? What's the worst that could happen?
And just hands you the bag.
You know, the best part about this is that he didn't tell me this until years later.
No way.
He's so ashamed.
Oh my gosh, dude.
He was so ashamed and upset about the entire thing. But he was kind of like mad at me for like a couple days after. You know, and he didn't tell me. Like,
you made me do this.
He's like, what is wrong with it? So anyway, he tells me this way down the road. I felt bad ever since.
And you've rode in his car probably since then.
And I've definitely rode in his car ever since then.
So
and
this is a two-seater coupe, someone you've known and hung out with right after you moved in your place and someone you've known for years and trying to narrow it down.
Internet detectives worked on it.
They could figure it out. I think he may have told a story. I don't remember. I don't know if he's publicly told a story. We tell a story all the time within our circle. So there's that story. And then this same person was there for this happening. We would travel a lot. And when you're traveling, you know, the best time to get to somewhere, especially if you're coming from California East, you lose time. So you get on these super early morning flights, 5 a.m. You got to be at the airport right when it opens to get on like a 5:30 boarding at a 6 a.m. takeoff or whatever. And so there was one time where this is now my walk of shame. I go on an airplane and my worst fear till this day is like having to go poop on an airplane. Like it is,
I love it.
I hate it.
It's not enough room, dude.
Yeah. So I travel with wipes now.
A wipe guy.
And a plastic bag.
Oh, absolutely. And a plastic bag.
Yeah.
Travel with wipes. And I always try to go before because of what happened here. So one time I'm on a flight. It's an early morning flight and I'm sleepy. And so I remember I had to go. I was like, oh gosh, I got to go. And it's like, you know, it's already a airplane bathroom, so it's already small. I don't have no poopery on me, you know. It's just bad. And I go to the bathroom, and I'm doing my thing, bro. I'm just, you know, we were getting it done.
Yeah,
it's putting in work. It's an airplane bathroom. It's small. It's uncomfortable, but I'm making it do what it do.
It causes turbulence.
No, not quite. And then, the door opens.
Dude, no way.
Like you forgot to lock it or it?
Oh, forgot to lock it.
Oh no.
But the door opens not as I'm sitting. The door opens.
Mid push.
As I'm wiping.
Oh.
Wait, are you a stand up wiper?
Yeah. Oh no. It's even worse.
So I'm up. And it was the stewardess. Or excuse me, what do they call now? Flight attendants. It's a flight attendant.
Yeah.
And she's looking at me and I'm looking at her and I'm mid wipe, full frontal. Like just everything exposed. And she's horrified. So she closes the door and then I lock the door and I finish wiping and I'm just embarrassed and horrified. And I go sit down next to my friend and I tell him what happens. And he goes, that's because of the time you made me poop in a bag outside of your house.
The same friend. That's
full circle,
that's
baby.
Poetry.
That's so good.
That could be a novel.
This is absolutely a true story. And he was like, yeah, dude, that's because you know.
Dude,
you did that to me.
Dude, that's amazing.
I'm staying in that bathroom until I'm sure everyone is off that plane.
I'm no matter what the seatbelt sign says, I'm landing in the toilet.
I always double check to make sure the bathroom door is closed. I have not went poop on a bathroom since then. I always carry wipes, and I always carry poopery on.
Did she say anything to you?
She's just like, oh my gosh. I was like, ah, just like, ah.
It's all. She's like, pretzels or peanuts?
Extra
peanuts.
Napkins.
It was terrible. I just remember being sleepy because it was so early in the morning. So I think I was like in napping and then like woke up and didn't lock it. And the lights were, you know, because the tail signs, when you lock the bathroom, the lights come on. But I didn't think nothing of it because the whole airplane was dark and it was bad, man.
Man, morning flight, morning poop in an airplane and getting ran in on. That's like the trifecta of terribleism.
Yeah. Dude, I love pooping on an airplane.
It's weird. Why do you like that?
Dude, that flush terrifies me.
It's just too close.
It does. I always plug my I'm like a little kid. I always plug my ears.
No, no, no.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
That was actually really good. Yeah. That's how it sounds.
And have you guys ever tried to do a courtesy flush while you're... It's bad, bro, because it's just like the water just hits you. It's like the... What is the British toilets where the water cleans your butt? I've never tried it.
Oh, the bidet.
The bidet. Yeah. You guys ever tried that?
That's the French.
Oh, yeah.
You have? Is it French?
Excuse me.
Ugh. Ugh. Don't get me started.
Give me some of the bidets.
Dude, I don't know what it is. I remember that one time when we went to Montana, I was like feeling so nauseous and I had to puke in a bathroom. That's worse, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, puking in a bathroom. Because one, you always don't want to be the guy that takes forever.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like all poops are rushed on a plane. Like you can't just take your time.
Well, they say that's better for your bunghole.
Yeah, but I don't care.
Would a poop on a plane?
No, poop fast.
Oh.
Like get in, get out.
They say the longer you sit, it causes a lot of bad
hemorrhoids.
Stuff, right?
Yeah, increases hemorrhoids. Yeah, yep. So you got to go.
I know all about it. Don't get me started on the pooping.
That's good. Dude, we need to collect. I think that's our next book. We did a devotional. Now we just need to do a Ninjas or Butterflies poop stories.
Oh,
the most epic poop stories. Oh, people submit them. We put their names and credit.
We make it like super dramatic and
And then we do an audible version with noises and sound effects.
It could be like a kid's book that opens and starts playing music.
Bro, especially like famous poop stories. Like people that dude, I watched this guy on YouTube or I watched this movie. Like we really break down the personal
stuff.
Now,
if you could tie that into a devotional.
Yeah, dude.
There might be something there.
Yeah, that'd just be perfect. I like that idea.
Hey, you want to hit us with a beat?
Yo!
Andrew's got a reel. He's gonna show us right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Oh.
All right, so I was looking for something to share, and we've talked about Nikola Tesla a bunch.
Yeah.
Weird dude, bunch of experiments. He was known like
good mustache.
He did impeccable.
Yeah,
like
perfect.
Yeah, but no,
electric.
Ooh,
Josh.
Yeah,
good one.
So I heard this. I saw this reel. Heard this audio, and I was like, "No way, that's real. Too creepy." So I started looking into it, and this is what I read about. It says, late one night in 1893, he fired up this radio contraption. And he listened. He was curious as to what he might hear. He's trying to listen to frequencies. And what he heard astounded him, frightened him. Even he became convinced he was picking up some form of communication between entities unknown. So this is like a radio receiver contraption. And he's projecting audio, dabbling in some sort of frequency. And this is the sound. This is a modern emulation of his contraption. But this is what the sound this is what he was listening to.
So he doesn't
know
what caused it?
No.
Okay.
No explanation. He just believed he was listening to entities.
Oof.
Okay. I will say, first of all, he was tapped into something that we are not aware of.
It's called the Tesla Spirit Radio.
Scary.
Terrifying.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I forgot to turn it up.
Ready?
Yep.
Loud!
Okay.
That's the opposite of a healing frequency. Whoa. By the way.
Where's that sound from? Like how do they source it?
It's like, I'll show you, I'll try to find a photo.
That's spooky.
I don't like that at all.
Dude, that literally sounds like the people that do like AI, like renderings of like what hell would look like and sound like. That's literally what it sounds like.
I imagine more gnashing of teeth.
Yeah, I don't know what that sounds like, but it's probably something.
And so it looks like it's just like a radio contraption where he like overcoiled it. So like a guitar pickup is a copper coil wound around a magnet, and that intercepts the magnetic field. Like, so guitar strumming in front of a pickup, it's actually the vibration in the magnetic field that the pickup is picking up. So I think he created basically a guitar pickup that like picks up frequencies.
He tapped into that fourth dimension frequency.
Dude, that's a... I don't know. What would that sound be? Because it sounds like people, almost.
It does sound like people, dude.
Yeah, he'd sit... Apparently, would sit there and just listen, trying to, like, find pattern and discern.
You know what's weird is, from the book Imagine the God of Heaven, a lot of these people that have NDEs, like, near-death experiences, they talk about, like, when they're in the presence of God or, like, the just in his kingdom, the New Jerusalem, the heaven, they say that everything sings. So like the grass sings, the trees sing. Oh, it's all weird. For glory for God. So it's like if there's something in this eternal realm that has music, what is the corruption of that? Like, does that carry over?
It's Tolkien, dude. He's on it again. That's how he says the universe was created by the four deities singing in harmony, and then Morgoth, who falls away, starts singing in dissension because he can't create. And so the fractures that we have, the evil that exists.
That sounded like music.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bad music.
Bad music.
I mean, yeah, there's like those major melodies, and then you hear the, like, what sounds like a person took a hammer to piano strings.
Pee my pants music.
Yeah.
That was scary.
Yeah.
And that's going to be stuck in my mind forever now.
I honestly felt it just didn't leave a good feeling at all.
I showed my wife last night. I was like, hey, I think this is going to be like my reel for tomorrow's pod. And I literally, it was like 2 seconds. She was like, off, turn it off.
Well, that's weird though. Cause I mean, did you felt uneasy listening to it?
Very uneasy.
I mean, there might be something to that.
Dude. I mean, that's just the thing. When we go back into the guy who created, well, who were we talking about? But like just, man, what was his name? We were talking about some scientist from like the 40s and stuff. And he was going into, it was kind of like the GATE program, like people who started like way beforehand, like who was going into those types of studies and understanding even like herbology and stuff. Yeah. And like, I don't know, man, like just tapping into supernatural, nether realms. And it was so common back in the day.
Yeah.
But it's like, what does it look like now? Is it a lot more secretive? Because it was out in the open a lot more, just that normal type of science.
I think what it looks like now is the TikTok account, Nutter Butter.
You guys seen this?
No.
You know Nutter Butters, right? Yes. Someone said, you got to go look up the Nutter Butter TikTok. And I was like, what could it possibly be?
Here we go.
It's terrifying.
You need audio back?
Yeah.
It's just like unhinged.
So, yes. So you know, like there's that like trend with like the Gen Z taking over like the business account and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it's like all these people like they're not. Terrible or whatever. We're entering the era of Gen Alpha taking over TikTok accounts, and I would say this is what it is.
You're not plugged in.
Yeah, I know. Do you have his number?
Yeah, I'll text it. You cool with that? Me in a group chat, real quick.
Of course.
It's seriously, it sounds like that noise.
Yeah.
Like if you're, we should take that audio and apply it to this Nutter Butter TikTok. All right, ready?
Dude,
open
this
it.
Every video.
Get her elected. What's wrong, sweetheart?
Oh my gosh.
Dude, no.
Isn't that weird? It's every video, dude.
That's for Nutter Butter.
Every video is this extremely rare type of humor that like, or like just.
That's, I don't. Because the thing is like. Very rare type
of humor. Is that how
it's
like, a creative that like, I don't even understand.
I mean, I laughed at it because it's just, it's that obscure.
It's random.
Is that how my parents view like the edits that I make?
Probably. Yep, so that's hell.
Is it?
Is it Nutter Butters TikTok?
I didn't know I could believe a tasty treat was demonic, but
is it like let's go ultra niche?
I think so, but it's strange. Like they're a huge company, right?
Right.
And the fact that like I can't imagine handing over your whole marketing,
yeah,
to that. Like, I just don't get it. I mean, like,
it's working though.
That's crazy. It's
Walmart's
nuts.
Not gonna stop buying Nutter Butters. Let's just let it's someone's niece.
Yeah, dude, so I know older people hate that stuff though. Like that can't make any sense.
But they're already buying Nutter Butters because they love Nutter Butters.
Yeah, exactly. So now they're just trying to
so
revamp
now
it to
all
this
these
culture.
Young kids are like, I don't want a Nutter Butter. Now I do.
Now
because
I do.
They're from hell.
Dude, we need to get Nutter Butter like cult cloaks. Like
what?
Cloaks for like a cult? Cult
oh,
cloaks?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to say that back to back.
Cult cloaks. Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Speaking of terrifying, let's talk about some crazy stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
The Lebanon pagers exploding.
Dude. Crazy.
What's your take on this? Because this is insane.
Oh, it's like ultimate MacGyver Mission Impossible.
This is nuts. Yeah. Okay.
How many devices was it?
9,000?
Yeah, but here's the thing, too. I saw another video. It wasn't just pagers.
There's like
radios,
yeah. walkie talkies. The Apple store in Lebanon, phones are going boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, 9,000 pagers in Lebanon spontaneously blew up and literally killed nine people, if not more.
Yeah.
Thousands of people are injured. And it just happened all at one time. It was an actual like orchestrated attack.
Well, here's the thing. They're saying like the news is coming out saying that Israel
intercepted
and put charges in them to blow up. I'm like, there's no way.
But that's all alleged. Like they're saying it's allegedly Israel and it's allegedly they intercepted. And so everyone's like, guys, it's not going to happen to our phones. They intercept. And it's like, we don't know that for sure, though.
Dude, it's a new type of warfare. I really think it's a DEW, like the direct energy weapon. And because Israel, there was that clip a couple months ago of them doing that to a missile. Remember that? Shooting that laser and the missile blowing up.
Now, is it they're just concentrating so much energy and power so that it like literally just blows up?
Yeah.
Like, so it actually, that would make total sense.
Think. Well, so they said that if it was, the initial theory was that it made it hot.
Yeah.
That they made the pagers hot, and as they got hot, then they exploded. But they said that the person usually would know that the pager would be hot, and you know, you would feel we're getting warmer. Like sometimes your phone will overheat.
But how long will that take if they were actually like producing an energy like direct weapon? Yeah. Like
so, what they said is what they did is they got a message first. So the savage part is all these guys are pulling out their pager, looking at the message, and as they're looking at it, boom. So a lot of folks are missing fingers and their eyesight.
Bro. Yeah. I know like only 9 people died and that's a tragedy.
Yeah.
But it's like, I can't imagine the injuries that people are sustaining out.
The sad part is there's some kids that got killed. Yeah. And some kids got hurt. Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's absolutely terrifying. We don't know if they were intercepted. We don't know what happened to them. So it's like, these things are a lot more technologically advanced than a simple pager.
Yeah.
And why couldn't, just a theory, why couldn't a company like this?
I think it goes back to, we talked to a while ago about Russia using what did I call it? It was the frequency thing where it like basically
kind of like Cuba.
Yeah. The Havana syndrome.
Yep.
I really do think it's a new type of warfare where they can target electronics.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, everyone has one. If you're trying to think of something
that pairs what I was telling you about the new iPhone, like part of their whole marketing thing is now no one's off grid. Like in a case of emergency, you're off the grid. It'll actually connect to a satellite all the time now, which means like anyone with an iPhone,
trackable.
You don't think Mossad is capable of intercepting the supply chain, like as they're being shipped over,
it. I think
that's way too complicated to do that,
really?
Especially just because of the walkie talkies, the iPhones in the store. Yeah, like it seems like it was just penetrating. And this is a clip of the pagers blowing up. I'm just going to do the audio and just like listen to this. These are just pagers.
I'm going to start a little quiet just to be sure I'm not.
Sounds of when all the pagers started going off.
So it's just like,
jeez.
Here's a video of a it sounds like gunshots.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I guess there's a huge investigation that needs to happen. I'm sure it is happening. Like, when did they get these pagers? Because they said they were new or something, but it's like everyone just had a brand new pager.
But I really think they're putting out this story because they're dabbling in new warfare tactics.
Yeah. So radio, like walkie-talkies, pagers.
iPhones.
So, I mean, lithium battery?
Yeah.
And I saw
it was the batteries that were exploding.
Be curious if there was any electric cars in the area, what happened to them?
Well, so I saw the story. I can't remember his last name, first name, Levi. He's a Christian musician.
Oh, yeah.
And he had his little, what's that called, mobile charger explode.
Yeah.
Or catch on fire. I don't know if it exploded, but it caught on fire on an airplane. He was like,
oh.
Yeah. Or either right as he was about to board or as they took off. So I've seen those things exploding.
Yeah, I've seen like hoverboards. I've seen like people's vapes like on TikTok. Like they'll just be on the counter or something and just go off like that. But I don't know, man.
I really think it was a... That's what I think.
You think Israel did it?
Because
that means that they got something really advanced technologically speaking.
I think this is just me. We're probably going
just a theory.
Just a theory. This is a comedy podcast, right?
Everything is satire.
I think whatever the military industry in the U.S., I think when there's these wars that break out, especially in the Middle East, to where you can pivot any story however you want, I think that's where they start testing new warfare and weapons technology. And I think this could have been potentially us testing something out.
And if we're partners with Israel and they need something and we're willing to test out a new form of warfare, then why not be on American soil somewhere else?
Yeah.
Where it doesn't point back to
we're
them.
Not in active war right now, you know?
Yeah. And it's an invisible thing. Like if it, like a DEW.
Like how are you
going
to prove that, you know? Yeah. Unless something got leaked.
Okay. I mean, some laser blew them up.
Some laser blew my pager.
But I mean, like, I'm going back to the Maui fire and whatever weapon that was that, you know, caused all that.
Could also be Russia.
Good.
Because it's not confirmed who it was, right? It's not like no one's owning it.
Well,
right
I think BB did do that commercial, like little reel of him acting like he's Mission Impossible. Bump, bump, bump. You guys saw that?
No.
Yeah. It's almost like a troll. So he's kind of indirectly, wink, wink, taking credit for it, you know? Which is
messed up.
Yeah, become pretty messed up. I mean, and just the turmoil in Israel about him right now, and you know they're trying to get him out because he fumbled a couple things. So it's a mess.
Yeah,
it's a mess.
It's whack.
It's a nightmare, dude. I'm like, that's the thing. It's literally so scary. Like I'm like now looking at my phone so differently now.
You still gonna upgrade to the new iPhone?
Yeah, it's
literally the sat phone thing freaks me out.
I mean, couldn't Apple or any iPhone, I mean, like smartphone people, couldn't they build in a trigger or something that allows something like that to happen? And if they have a deal with the U.S. government, if they do have a deal with the UN or whoever, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't they have like something where it's like, unless this passcode or this certain type of signal comes in, nothing happens, but if it were to, it could explode.
So, like, think about our computers. While we're editing, the performance is throttled because it starts to overheat. There's something, and I don't know if that's got to be software, not hardware, that causes it to throttle back.
Mm-hmm.
So you can remotely change software. So if they could literally just send, like, you know, an update to whatever device.
An incredibly large update.
Yeah, and it's...
That overwhelms the phone.
Literally, it's just now it's overheating, downloading the update, and they know that it takes X amount of time and this temperature to go.
And if it's that sudden and intense... Yeah.
I think I see. You're saying making it hot.
Instantly.
And if it's a, like, an overly large amount of power coming into it, like, and it has no choice but to
there's probably an engineer who's like, it'll melt, it won't do that, but like, I don't know, but like, I could hypothetically
we better hope they don't have any relationships with the government. Keep it nice and separate. I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
What do you guys think of the correlation of people who claim to be abducted by aliens and their participation in the occult practice? There seems to be a lot of data that suggests that all these folks that get these encounters are all dabbling with some sort of occult like tactics, whether that's like overt Ouija board or like Eastern religion, and this whole like, you're one with the universe is God.
Mysticism.
Mysticism, therefore you are God because you're the universe and the universe is God type thinking, right? But there seems to be a lot of that layered there in terms of the research that I've looked at.
Well, let me talk about like the correlations between all of the people who were getting possessed and stuff like that. Like there's
these reports of people being abducted, right? And every single person that they did this whole broad
survey,
survey of like all these people that were abducted. The people that were instantly let go were the people that proclaimed the name of Jesus. And so it's like, there's a correlation with that.
Yeah, that's even, yeah, seriously. Yeah.
But Blurry Creatures, they've had people on their podcast that have, I forget what it's called, but it's basically a satanic ritual to where like, but everything in this ritual is almost mirrored exactly like what an abductee goes through.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar, with just like, you're on a table, they're doing, weird stuff to you, experiments, and like you're afraid, you can't move. There's some telepathic,
like Diddy level, 1,000 bottles of baby oil.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Which that's insane.
That's crazy, dude.
That's the scariest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I can't even listen to Shake Your Tail Feathers anymore.
Did you guys see all the articles coming out from like owners of brothels, and they're like, "Hey, like, please don't use baby oil as lube. Like, it's you guys haven't seen this?
No.
Yeah, bro. Like, different people coming out and like, hey, it's like not sanitary. It can mess up the pH balance.
I don't think anyone should be taking any advice for their health or anything from B. Diddy. Let's get that out of the way. Yeah.
Sorry.
I think it's the first time that word's ever been said on the pod, which is great. So.
But isn't there an interesting parallel of people tampering with the human body? Earlier we were talking about potential people thinking there's babies that they are having or not having.
Yeah.
And the parallel of what we're seeing in media and in these celebrity cult people being trafficked, Jeffrey Epstein, Diddy. Like, it's like the same avatar.
And that's,
But it's one is a rap mogul or a guy with a jet that all these presidents have oddly been on. And another is like aliens. Like, what is with these connections?
Evil doesn't change, in my opinion. It's they don't come up with something new. I think it's been this way since the dawn of man, of just like, this is the way evil operates. And it's presented in a different way. And I think maybe these alien abductions, how people report these things, and it's very similar to like the satanic ritual. I think that's just because that's how they do it. I think that's how evil does it, you know? And like,
it's always perverting something beautiful.
Yeah.
So sex is good, beauty, goodness, and it's taking that and it's perverting and perversing it into something.
Yeah, and we do that with children. Like it's always been like, we talk about that for like, you know, ancient times, how they were sacrificed stuff. And now we see the same thing in our culture.
I mean, that's been the goal since day one. You know, it's they call it the seed war, you know, of like evil trying to prevail, of wiping out man. But like, what their ultimate goal is to pervert God's creation and distort it and drive fear into basically everything that is opposite of God. That's what their intention is, you know.
I mean, you look at Moses, you look at, you know, the census with Jesus, it's a constant narrative. I feel like our God is sovereign, and if you're trying to disrupt a plan and you just can't grasp how impenetrable sovereignty is, like, you'd be doing whatever you can. Like, oh, there's a prophecy that's going to come true, I'm going to kill all the firstborn children. And so, I mean, you just see that scripturally, historically, like over and over and over again. And so, I mean, if you know you're going to lose, like, think about like I play soccer, and if you know you're losing and someone has just been chipping in your ear, you're losing, but you're taking a shot before the game's over. You know what I mean? And so
that's a good parallel. Yeah.
Every now and then. Every now and then you get one.
Football.
Football.
Let me ask you guys another question.
Yep.
Is there anywhere you guys have like a hard line with some of these conversations in terms of like the quote unquote conspiracy level stuff, right? Is there anywhere where you go, okay, wait a minute, I can see where this is going. I'll give you guys a personal example. I can see where this is going. We're not going to take it there in terms of how you guys process some of this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely try to be sensitive, because we have sensitive ears listening.
Yeah. And also we have children. And so that's one of the tough things, is like, we just, I don't know, it's like a difficult thing to, the children's always a really hard topic, because it's just such a, it feels like there's so much evil that's surrounding the youth of our world. And a lot of people talk about it or prioritize it or want to change it. And they say they do, but we just, I don't know. I guess it feels almost hopeless in a weird way.
Me and Lil were actually talking about this last night, kind of on this same subject. Like, I was telling her about all this stuff, and she's like, can you stop talking? This is freaking me out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we shouldn't dwell on these things, on these conspiracies, on this evil stuff. But for me, I really do think it's very important to understand the tactics of evil and what they're trying to do. Because if you're not versed, or if you don't know what they're doing and what they've done in the past, like, that's why it's so important to study history, you know, like for warfare, all this stuff, because it's like, it does repeat itself. Like, you learn from history. But if you're not aware of what the enemy is trying to do and what they have done, and you'll just be ignorant to it, and I think you'll
be taken advantage of. Like you, your guard will be let down if you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. And that's the thing, the opposite of, you know, like if you don't know, you continue to fall into your scripture and continue to see, and like every, nothing is new underneath the sun, and you'll start seeing that. And like the truths of the gospel are evident in our everyday life if we're looking for it. And I think that God just allows us to open up our eyes, but also, like somebody commented recently, like today, they're like, why aren't you guys mad after talking about all this stuff? It's like, that's because you guys are a bunch of grifters doing it for the money. And it's like, no, because we have the promise of Jesus. Like, we can look at all this crazy stuff and we can say, all right, you know what? He's in control.
Yeah.
You know, we could talk about it. We could bring light to it. And if we have an opportunity to help, we will do that. But besides that, it's like, it's about bringing truth, you know, light to dark.
Yeah.
I think everybody looks at, like, you know, your initial question, like what conspiracies, like what filters are in place. And I remember when Josh started talking about the Book of Enoch, and like my Bible degree was like, it's Apocrypha. We're not listening to anything. And then you actually start to like read a little more. And it's like so many of the filters that I had in place before this podcast started, I've literally just thrown out the window. And I'm not saying the Book of Enoch is scripture, but like, man, there's like the more you read on this stuff, like we talk about, you know, Nephilim, what Enoch talks about, fallen angels. And then like my family's from Hawaii, and you look at some of their stories, they talk about like star people coming down and creating things. The Native Americans have these same stories of star people coming down, and all these things that were like on the fringes of, yeah, right. You're like, you know, think about like conventional Christianity. People talk about the flood really happened because all these people groups have the same flood story. Like if you're going to use that argument, you need to flip that. And now you believe in all the other
people.
Yeah, let's talk about the star people based on the same argument. Cause it's in our Bible. We call them fallen angels or Nephilim and they call it star people. So like, why aren't we going to accept these things as potential explanations for a reality that on this side of heaven we will never fully understand? But
and people don't want us to connect those dots. So that's where I think that division comes in. The government doesn't want any of that to, you know, be something that we're all on the one side of.
I ask because I think that right now there seems to be like two varying paths in these conversations, and I feel like it's, there's guys that are talking about these things, like you guys are talking about these things, the Nephilim. And then there's like, I was with a family member and they come in and I hadn't seen them in a while, and we're coming in and they're like, these are smart guys. These guys are engineers, like tech guys. And I like my pastor's with me and they're just like, Genesis 3, man, it's not about the forbidden fruit. It's really about cannibalism. God showed me in a dream and just blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, okay, I know where this is going. Let me guess, the Jays. The Jays are bad and they did everything. And they're like, no. It's like that. And then like literally we're leaving the restaurant and he's like, it's just the Jays.
No way.
Yeah, I'm like, I knew where this was going, right? And so it's like, there's like one side of the, like this conversation that go really left really fast. And then there's another side that's like, is trying to take people into scripture and trying to point people back to the Bible, right? And so it's like these two convergent paths. And tell me what you guys think about this. I feel like these conversations are not, don't lead to nihilism. Like what you guys are having here doesn't lead to nihilism and despair, whereas the folks on the other side tend to get very despaired and sad and like, you know, and I'm curious to think, sorry, I'm just externally processing.
No, you're good.
But you guys, like, you guys are running like a business. Like this is like a real thing and you're really helping people and solving problems and providing a service and a product to people. The folks on the other end, like I came up in the 2000s and like everything was Illuminati rapper, Illuminati rapper, Illuminati. And I'm just like, hey, like cool, maybe, but your life sucks and you don't really know how to read your Bible every day. You're not going to church. You're barely a Christian. And like, all you want to talk about is these like Jay-Z Illuminati videos. Like, okay, maybe. However, like, where's your sanctification process in this, bud? You know? So I don't know what you guys make of that, because feel like there's this new conversation that I'm seeing happening that I've always had about the Nephilim, but it's different. It's distinguished. It's redeemable. It's redemptive. It's hopeful. It's it's gospel-centered.
It does feel hopeful.
Yes.
And we may not be getting answers, but it does feel like it is. We're having a lot more productive conversations as a culture. Like, I mean, like, you have freaking Tucker Carlson talking about Nephilim and stuff. That's like, that's crazy to me.
That is our ultimate goal, is that like we can talk about all the weird, strange stuff that you will probably actually you won't hear in church unless you go to a really
cool church.
Really cool church. But all of our hope lies within Jesus, and amen. That's our goal is to know that there might be really freaky, scary things that are happening and that have happened, that will happen, but we know who's going to win in the end.
Yeah, his truth stands above it all.
And we really do try, I try especially to, with all this stuff, is compare it to Scripture and compare it to the history of Scripture and like what has happened, what will happen, what did happen, you know, and like really have Scripture be like the pinnacle of you bounce things off of it. Cause I mean, it won't have everything in it, right? You know, like you can't test everything with it, but
I don't think we can know everything. Like you mentioned like nihilism and like despair, and this is my ignorance. This isn't like me trapping you in a question. This is like me genuinely asking, like, how would you define nihilism?
Hopelessness.
Hope.
Like the world's going to hell in a handbasket. What's the point of even trying?
But isn't nihilism that you can know nothing and that hopelessness is the result?
Well, I guess that's a way of looking at it. I've always seen nihilism as like everything is bad,
yeah,
and there's no point to anything. Probably with the presupposition that you can't truly factually know anything,
right?
Right.
Like I remember, and this is like, you know, undergrad took one class. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I remember the conversation being like, you can know nothing. Like, I remember the professor was like, how do you know that you weren't born 10 seconds ago at your current age mm-hmm. with this reality constructed mm-hmm. around you? Make your argument that that didn't happen.
Google like, Gaga? Yeah.
But I remember being like, okay, so you literally, like, we operate within things, but you don't know what was implanted in your head mm-hmm. 10 seconds ago if you were created then. So then everything then becomes a faith mm-hmm. step. Mm-hmm. So your existence then is your own the faith that you have being proven. And so I think there's actually, I call myself sarcastically a Christian nihilist because like, I don't think I can actually know anything and I will be redeemed by the grace of God alone. Mm. And so I think like, cause like you were, there was a podcast, Joe Rogan and another guy that you referenced and you were talking about, or he was talking about how, goes from, you know, his head to his heart and Rogan's what?
You're good. He's been holding it.
You're good. But like, I feel like that jump to like known and unknown mm-hmm. nihilism and despair, it's like, it's okay to not know and to just accept mm-hmm. that you don't
yes.
and can't.
Yes.
But God is good and faithful. And to the best of our human ability within the constructs of free will, as it appears, we are trying to have faith in him.
Yeah, I love that. Let me read the definition of nihilism. Yes, I agree with you. Okay, so nihilism is a philosophical belief that rejects the validity of fundamental aspects of human existence, such as morality, knowledge, and meaning. So you're talking about knowledge.
Yep, don't agree with that.
Yeah, I was thinking morality and meaning, right? It's often associated with pessimism and skepticism and can be described as a destructive force. So, and then it's coined, nihilism originated in 19th century Russia. Daggone Soviets, man.
Yeah, at it again.
Okay. It was popularized by Ivan Turgenev's novel Fathers. Frederick Nietzsche
yeah.
was kind of, I would say most people associated with him. Yeah, so I think of nihilism as rejection, usually of morality and meaning. You're just talking about it in the knowledge sense. I think it's and both. Like, I think there are, like, I think to say we can't know something is in and of itself a truth claim.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like there has to be something, some truth to what is good, what is bad, what is beautiful, what is not beautiful. Yeah.
Truth exists.
Yeah, truth exists.
I believe, but I believe it does.
Yes.
Some would say you can't handle the truth.
You can't handle
Jack the Nicholson truth. Said that, I think. Yeah.
Dr.
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess my simple point was just that if we really believe Jesus is coming back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we really believe his word is good. And we really believe that we win in the end.
Agreed.
That should lead to hopeful desire to usher in beauty and goodness on this side of eternity, not nihilism.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And so I'm dealing with a lot of young men that are just like, flip it, dude, forget
it. What's the point?
Yeah. Like, dude, it was easy for you to find a wife. You've been married 16 years. And it's like, yeah. Okay, and I could point you to multiple young guys that just got married within the last couple of years. They're all in their 20s. Easy for you to make a living, bro. You do this economy. It's like, I got married in 08, right before the economy collapsed. Yeah, you know, like, it's easy for you to, you know, and so it's like, it's this like,
I got you.
I just don't want to try anymore. And to me, I just go, man, like, it's, I want people to walk in the hope that we have that Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
Another question for you, and you guys can comment on that, but another question for you guys, do you guys have any eschatological points of views in terms of this pre-mill, post-mill, amill? Is Jesus on the throne now? Is he going to come back and be on the throne? Is the world getting better? Is the world getting worse?
Pan-millennial.
It'll all pan out in the end. I love it.
Explain that.
Like, when does the return of Christ, before a thousand year reign, after, where in the middle? Like, everyone debates. It's. I think I've told you the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just so, like...
For the audience, pan-millennial, we're not meant to know when it happens. It all pans out, and the point is that our God is sovereign and over it all.
I'm at the point now where I don't think there's going to be a rapture.
Okay, so that's like a, that would be like a millennial, post-millennial view.
I will confess that once I decided I was pan-millennial, my brain went elsewhere in
respect.
My classes.
No, respect. Yeah, rapture is relatively modern. It's a relatively modern, it's usually pre-millennial, dispensational, connection to dispensational theology. It's fairly like 150 years, maybe 100 years.
I think it's going to happen.
Cameron came up with it.
What?
Well, Kirk,
Father Cameron.
Well, yeah, Kirk Cameron, funny enough, has rejected all the theology,
no,
the end times theology in Left Behind. He's a post-millennial now.
Wow.
Which is like, post-millennialism is just a view that like the world becomes more and more Christian, things get better and better, and then Christianity prevails, and then Jesus comes back.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
I think...
That would be a miracle.
That would be really awesome. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And I think it will be, as Christ said, again, I know I've used this so much, but as the days of Noah, mm-hmm. to where there's so much corruption that
we'll be begging for a flood.
Everyone, like, it was like, boom, okay, bowels of the earth open up, water's coming. You know, like, it's going to be like that sudden. But I think the whole point of Christ and his gospel was like the few that choose the narrow road, like, they're building the ark. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been building the ark for 2,000 years, mm-hmm. and it's going to be that one day it's like, boop, there he is.
You should tell about Cassie, what you did there.
So when we were in high school, or when I was in high school, my younger sister, we were watching Left Behind one day, and she was just like, she's a very anxious person. Aww. Our whole family is, but
oh, no.
And she's like, I got to use the restroom. And she went, and I went full butt naked and put all my clothes on the couch like I got raptured. And I head behind the couch. And she walks in. She's like, Josh!
Oh,
Josh!
How old is she at the time?
I mean, she was probably 10.
Oh, poor girl.
She was 25.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I think I created anxiety within her. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Oh.
But she's good now.
Where do you sit on that?
I'm with you ultimately. I don't know how it all pans out. I think the amill is like Jesus is on the throne, but in the spirit realm, like he's on the throne in control, provident in the spirit realm, but not necessarily in a physical establishment, mm-hmm. right? The funny thing about post-mill, which is like the world would get better and better, is like the only folks that really hold to that view is like the hardcore Christian nationalist folks.
Yeah.
And then they kind of backdoor all kinds of weird stuff, like women shouldn't vote, and like, we don't really know about interracial marriage. And I'm just kind of like, oh man, that's weird. Like, you guys
we should stop that.
Yeah, my wife is black, and I'm like, what do we, you know? So they hold to that, and then the Seven Mountain hyper charismatics hold to it. So I'm like, man, I don't really like either of these teams. You know, I need a different team. So I like the idea of post-mill. Like, I think I'm naturally like an optimistic person. Like, occupy till I come. You know, Jesus in Luke 19:13 says, occupy till I come. So I'm more looking at it like, let's occupy and make the world better and shrink beauty and goodness. But I don't know how it all pans out. Yeah. I don't know how it all works out. I hope like my kids don't have like a horrible experience on earth. Like, I hope they can be used as vessels for goodness and beauty, and make the world a better place, you know. But I ultimately don't know.
Yeah. I think they're able to do that no matter what the world is, and that's sure. That's a scary, comforting thing. Yeah. It's like, God, I'm just going to trust you in all of this, because I do not have faith that this world is going to be kind to them.
Yeah. But
there's this just real quick, this I forget his name, he's been on Blurry, but he talks about, he thinks, so in Revelation it talks about the end times, like Armageddon stuff, that the nations of the world will be at war with God. Mm-hmm. Like there'll be a battle. And he relates that to this alien invasion.
Mm.
So like this great deception falls over the people, and the deception would be that we already know about like aliens, right? And we have their technology, and but then when Christ returns, they'll spin that as we're being invaded by a bad alien race and we have to fight them, which is that's a really wild thing. But
yeah,
is it so wild? Because yeah, like we're talking a lot about aliens, like mm-hmm, in society.
Dude, it would not take much at all for us to just freak out over that.
Yeah,
if, as a country, just to go up in arms and try to figure out that whole
straight
thing.
Independence Day vibes.
Dude, I'm telling you, ugh, I'd be scary.
So who knows?
Someone get Will Smith on a phone.
There we go. Hey, but let's talk about
more stuff.
More stuff. There is something really interesting I want to talk about. Okay. On Patreon, right?
That's right.
Patreon.com/ninjas are butterflies. Download the app today.
That's right. Hey, give all your deets.
Yeah. Plug everything.
Deets, Ruslan details. KD on all platforms. So they could just search Ruslan. If you search Ruslan on YouTube, I'm usually the first. Ruslan. Usually the first thing that comes up everywhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dude, thanks so much for being here today.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, man, this
means
great.
The world. This is awesome.
What a gift.
What a gift Ruslan is. Thank you, Lord.
All right, guys. Make sure to review us on everything. 5 stars, it really helps.
If you want any personal swag for yourself, SundayCoolSwag.com. And if you want shirts for your company, your business, your church, whatever, SundayCool.com, baby.
Mm. All right, guys. We love you.
Love you.
Bye. Bye. Oh.
What? What?
Sam Tharp. Thanks for watching.
Oh.
Sam Tharp or Tharp. Fart? Fart?
Sure.
Sam Fart. Thank you for watching.
How could he be so fartless?
How could you be so fartless?
Did I say ninja? I meant
butterfly.
The butterfly is no doubt one of God's creatures.
I said, empty your mind.
You were martial arts.
Ha! Ninjas are
dead! All right, thumbnail.
What? Are we all making faces?
Yeah.